I'm Tony Cox, and this is News and Notes. Since the Iraq War began, the U.S. government has outsourced security to private companies. These civilian contractors protect everything from equipment and supplies to military brass. Their contracts are worth millions of dollars, but with the big bucks come big risks. Steve Fenoru, who recently covered the story for The Washington Post, has returned from Iraq and says while private contractors were never meant to fight on the front lines, they are nevertheless seeing a lot of combat.
You have a number of companies that are conducting a number of different security operations, the most dangerous of which is convoy security. And most of the attacks that are occurring in Iraq are happening on the main supply routes. And so the private security companies are moving up and down those routes, you know, constantly, and so they're getting attacked with growing frequency.
How many people are we talking about, both individually and companies that are being impacted by this violence?
Well, we really don't know. I mean, even now, the military has really no idea how many of these private security contractors are operating in Iraq. I mean, you hear estimates ranging from, you know, 20,000 on the low end to, you know, upwards of, you know, 50 and even 75,000. And, you know, part of the problem is that there's very little regulation, so it's hard to keep track. But most of the estimates range around 20 to 30,000 armed security contractors who are operating in Iraq in different capacities, and probably more than, at least more than 100 companies.
How would they be perceived as being different from mercenaries?
Well, it's a really interesting term of art, and there's been a great deal of controversy surrounding the terminology that's applied to these guys. You know, I think the companies would argue that they're more than mercenaries, that they're operating in support of the coalition, that they're hired by the coalition, that they certainly wouldn't undertake operations that have anything that would be contrary to their own governments. But, of course, they're hiring people who are coming from other countries that have nothing to do with the Iraq War. And so many people who are critical of the practice believe that these people are, in fact, mercenaries, that they're being hired for money to fight the war on behalf of the coalition.
You've been doing some really great work on this. I've been reading your stories in The Washington Post, and one of them struck me because I was not aware that these civilian security personnel are actually guarding American military personnel.
They are, yes. There's a private security company, Aegis Defense Services, which is a British company that's protecting the commanding general in charge of all contracting activity for the U.S. military. So their major philosophy is that they are protecting nouns, that they protect, you know, people, places, and things, and they protect U.S. military personnel, they protect U.S. military installations. They protect all of the material that's going toward the reconstruction of Iraq. That means all the weapons and vehicles and ammunition that's going to the new Iraqi security forces, all of the material that's going to the new Iraqi government ministries, all of that material is being protected by private security.
You know, a number of American military as well as some British military units have come under sharp criticism and criminal prosecution for some of the violence that they have been alleged to have been a part of or in some cases started. Are there any instances that you are aware of involving civilian security personnel with regard to questionable kinds of violent activities against Iraqis?
I mean, there's a great deal of gray area surrounding sort of the regulatory environment in which these companies operate. You know, some people believe that they should be subject to the military judicial system. You know, other people believe that they're actually subject to a law that applies to civilian contractors who are in the employ of the U.S. military. It's never really been tested. There's one case that I'm aware of in which a private security contractor allegedly shot and killed an Iraqi bodyguard inside the Green Zone. And that case is proceeding and is under investigation. My understanding is under this contractor law, the Military Extraterritorial Jurisdiction Act. Part of the issue, I think, is that the industry has grown so fast and has grown so large that the military and Congress and the Iraqi government have not been really able to get their heads around exactly how to deal with it.
Let's talk about dollars for a moment, Steve. Who's profiting, and both from a company standpoint as well as an individual standpoint?
Well, the companies themselves are certainly profiting. I mean, we focused on, in our last article, we focused on one British company, Armor Group, which handles 32% of all non-military supply convoys in Iraq. So they're handling most of the convoys related to the reconstruction. You know, that company, roughly 50% of their annual revenue last year came out of Iraq. I think it was something on the order of about $175 million. You know, and then the contractors themselves, you know, they're making a great deal of money. I mean, relatively speaking, I mean, someone who's protecting a convoy in Iraq, you know, makes about $13,500 a month. Now, a lot of that money is not being taxed, you know, depending on the amount of time that the contractors spend in the country. The contractors themselves can make anywhere from, you know, $7,000 on the low end a month up to $20,000 a month. It can be a great deal of money, but of course it's, you know, it comes with a great deal of risk. So, you know, and then one of the other issues that's come up is that these companies, as part of this business model, they're hiring people who are coming from what they call third countries, places like Fiji, Colombia, Peru, and they're hiring a lot of Iraqis too, and they pay them a lot less than they're paying the, you know, the expats who are making in the, you know, the $15,000 to $20,000 range.
One final thing before we let you go, and that's this. How has the recent troop surge in Iraq impacted or affected these security companies and their ability to provide security?
Well, it's interesting because I think, you know, my sense is that that these companies are sort of on a parallel track with the military, that they respond to the work that, you know, that is required, and they respond to the threat in the environment. And so a number of companies have been, you know, boosting manpower, acquiring much more heavily armored vehicles, changing their ground tactics to respond to changing threats. And I think what we're seeing in Iraq is that, you know, with the surge, that violence in many respects, particularly on the outskirts of Baghdad, has increased. And so attacks against the security contractors have increased. I mean, one of the statistics that was in our latest article is that the attacks against private security convoys have gone up in the last 2 years from something like 5% of all convoys on the road to, I believe it was 14.7% of all convoys out there in the first 4 months of 2007.
When you go back, if you're going back, and considering also the time that you have spent in Baghdad, I would assume, Steve, that you guys, the press I'm talking about, particularly yours even with the Washington Post and others who are embedded there, that private security is also provided for the news media. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a really good point to make because we're all sort of in the same boat in Iraq, that it's difficult to nearly impossible to travel around Iraq without security. And so, of course, we have our own private security that we've assembled and protects us whenever we move from A to B. If I go, you know, whenever I travel into Iraq, I'm picked up by our private security team, and then I travel from the airport to our bureau. So, yeah, it's a good point. I mean, it's a function of the security environment in Iraq as much as anything, that if you're going to move something or, you know, a person or a thing from one point to another, you need security to get it safely from one point to another.
Steve, good job. Keep up the good work.
Thanks very much for having me.
Steve Fanneroo is a reporter for The Washington Post. He joined us by phone from Berkeley, California.